Beloved radio friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we greet you warmly, giving you a hearty invitation to enjoy with us the study of the Epistle of Paul written to the Galatians. Today we commence the study of chapter 2, where we have the continuation of the Apostle's personal account of how God revealed to him the gospel which he preached. We have already learned in chapter 1 that the authentic message which Paul preached came directly to him by revelation from God. This we noted in chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. From his account in that first chapter, we learned also of his brief contact with the Apostle Peter and with the Apostle James, when he remained but 15 days with them in Jerusalem without being recognized by the whole company of believers. As we continue the account that Paul gives in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 then going down through verse 10, we find that he will tell us that 14 years had elapsed before he went up to Jerusalem again, and at which time he was independent of the 12 apostles, and this is clearly evidence in regard to the message God gave to him to preach. Shall we read in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2? Paul writing by the Holy Spirit to say, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." We have in these words the desire of the apostle expressed to seek privately the spiritual leaders of the church at Jerusalem, rather than to speak to the whole body of believers. This was manifested wisdom upon his part, for if he met with them in an open assembly of all the Jewish Christians, there would possibly have been opposition from many of them, for many of the Jews would still be emphatic in demanding that the teachings of the Judaistic law were necessary to communicate to believing Gentiles among the Christians. Paul's clear, simple message, the gospel which he preached, was not one of legalism or the law. It was salvation by grace through faith, which God had commanded him to preach. And the Apostle Paul was concerned to defend the simplicity of that gospel and to keep it free from the demands of Judaistic teachers, such as those who had influenced the Galatian believers. The proof of the apostles' acknowledgement of his stand, that is, the other 12 apostles, acknowledging the stand that Paul took, the proof is revealed in relation to Titus, whom the apostle took with him on this occasion to Jerusalem. For Titus was a Gentile believer. And in verse 3, Paul tells us, "But neither Titus who was with me, being a Greek," meaning a Gentile, "neither was he compelled to be circumcised." The leading apostles of Jerusalem did not insist that this Gentile believer should be circumcised, a Jewish rite which we know was demanded under the Judaistic law. The importance of this fact should be confessed, for in the epistles of the Galatians, as we shall continue, we will find this, the act of circumcision, was one of many demands by the teachers from Jerusalem when they visited the churches of the Galatian believers. Whether these Jewish teachers were genuine Christians can well be questioned, for Paul writes concerning them in verses 4 and 5, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. It may be very probable that in the city of Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas had labored much for the Lord amongst his people, that these Jewish teachers had infiltrated amongst the saints, and when they presented their teachings concerning Judaism, Paul and Barnabas vigorously opposed them, and in order to settle the whole matter, Paul and Barnabas came to Jerusalem to obtain an opinion from the leading apostles and elders there. Now, Paul's contact with those apostles of Jerusalem and the elders did not in any way make his gospel any less authentic. Just because of the importance of those spiritual leaders, which seems to be indicated by the words of verse 6, which read, but of those or these who seem to be somewhat meaning important, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Now let us be careful not to think that Paul was belittling these men, though the wording may give some this impression. He is simply stating that they did not have any superior authority in his estimation than the authority that God had given him directly. For God does not accept any man's person as far as any outward distinction may be concerned. Now, as we read on in verses 7 through 10, we shall learn that the apostles in Jerusalem recognized that Paul had been commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles, just as clearly as Peter had been sent to the Jews. Both of these men preached the same gospel, but to different nationalities. Now listen to the summary of Paul's statement regarding the decision of these spiritual leaders of Jerusalem. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now let us understand the meaning of the expressions, the gospel of the uncircumcision, and then the gospel of the circumcision. One relating to Paul's ministry, the other relating to the ministry of Peter in particular. Now the expressions only indicate this fact. Paul was particularly the apostle to the Gentiles, who were the uncircumcised of the world. Peter's ministry in the gospel was particularly to the Jews, who followed the rites of circumcision. So that these expressions but indicate this. Paul was chosen by God to take the gospel to the Gentiles within the world. Peter was particularly chosen and commissioned to take the same gospel to another nationality, and that is to the people of Israel. Now there is one fact that we must acknowledge from this second visit of Paul to Jerusalem when we come to the end of this section of our study in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now listen very carefully. There was a perfect understanding, and there was an actual agreement between Paul and between the apostles in Jerusalem regarding the central doctrine of salvation. There was no disagreement between the apostles, those at Jerusalem who represented the ministry of the gospel to the circumcision, the Jews, and the Apostle Paul, who represented the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. They together agreed that salvation was by grace alone. Now, though the circumstances of Peter and his companion apostles directed their ministry toward the Jews, and Paul's circumstances under God were taking him, particularly to the heathen, should they preach a different gospel? This is what Paul was concerned about. For men had come to Galatia preaching another gospel, which he declared was not another gospel. Now Paul proves it was the consensus of conviction between all the apostles at Jerusalem and himself. They preach the same gospel of salvation. I think of the words of Paul supporting this great fact, whether being preached to the Jews, whether to the Gentiles, as he wrote them in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Listen to these words of Paul. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. My beloved radio listener, may we emphasize, there is but one gospel. It is a gospel that is preached by grace alone, whether believing Jew, whether believing Gentile, they are saved upon the same ground. The question has often been asked of me, does God have another gospel for the Jew and another gospel for the Gentile today? Never. My radio listener, you can only be saved, whether Jew or Gentile, by grace alone. And it is the gospel of Christ that brings the message, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Blessed Father, enable someone to receive this gospel and believe the Savior today for his name's sake. Amen.